Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be gathered with you, and it's good to see each one of you. I do plan to bring a message to the mothers this morning. The title of my message this morning is this, Mothers on the Move. Mothers on the Move. So the title does, perhaps it does beg some questions. Well, what's this preacher about to say? What's he going to talk about for the next 30 minutes? And I intend to do that, keep my thoughts to that period of time. We're going to talk about the value of exercise. You know, there's a debate going on right now. I found it sort of interesting because my wife and I have been talking about it. Because we go for walks sometimes, and her pace is different than my pace, and if I want to get some value out of it, we need to go a little faster. And so there is this debate right now, or discussion about brisk walking and the blessings of that, the benefits of that, and the research says that it'll extend your life 10 years, brisk walking. And then the next article that comes up says, just walk, you know. It's okay, just get out and move, and just get some exercise. You're going to get benefits from that, and so there it is. I'm not going to try to settle that one. However, I will suggest, mothers, for your health and spiritual well-being and mental well-being, get out and walk. Do try to do that. We do find it to be a blessing, and I often encourage my wife to walk. And better yet, if you can, convince your husband to go with you. So we do that, and we figure out how to make that work so it's beneficial to both of us. Mothers on the Move. What are we going to talk about? What's the sermon this morning? I'm not going to be talking about exercise anymore. We're not talking about some kind of social or political movement. However, there is a lot of activity socially and politically on the part of mothers. You can understand why a mother would be quite concerned about what's happening to her children in public school. You know, the curriculum and what's happening there, and they're getting engaged and involved, and they want to understand. I understand that completely, but that's not the intent of our message this morning either. It's not a social or political cause. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, this is where I came up, or this is where I'm going to spend our time this morning and where the sermon comes from. I'm going to start, once you're there, in Galatians chapter 5, and it's a short verse, and it says this, verse 25 of Galatians 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I plan to take my inspiration this morning from the fruits of the Spirit, but mothers on the move, walking in the Spirit. It's talking about living and walking. It's active. There's movement. There's production. And that's what I'm going to be thinking about this morning. I want to stir, I want to challenge, but most of all, I do want to encourage you mothers. I want to encourage. We are blessed with many children here. We are blessed with growing homes, and I praise God for that. God's blessed us with 8. We're thankful for each one. And may God bless you in whatever your journey is as it relates to. And to think just a little bit larger, there was a day when I preached a message, Mothers Figuratively and Spiritually. And you can find that as well, where it's not just about the role of mothering extends beyond the ability to biologically have a child. And so I do care about that. I don't plan to spend much time on that at all this morning, but I'll just lay that out there. Regardless of your place in life, I believe there is a unique role of women in this gift of mothering and the care and nurture they give to children. But no one is up on their feet more, moving like mothers. You know, us men, we put in a big day's work. And there's a quote that actually says, a men's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. Maybe you can remember that one. And so us men, we go out and we slay the giant. We think we conquered a lot this day. We come home and we tend to think we can pull the plug, and we do. And yet our wives and mothers are, well, they continue on in their toil. There's a meal to serve. They cleaned up the dishes. They fold the wash. They get the little ones to bed. They tidy the house. They get things in order for the next day. They get the lunches set out and get that plan put together. Hopefully get to bed in decent time and then be interrupted multiple times at night by the little ones being up. And on, or perhaps it's, well, maybe it's not the little ones anymore. Maybe it's the big ones who haven't got home yet, you know. And so there's so many ways in which their work just continues on. Mothers on the move. This verse 25 says, walk in the Spirit. Walking is living. We live in the Spirit. And it's about experiencing and presenting the fruits of the Spirit in everyday life. That's what the heart of the message is. And I plan to look at all nine. But I have gave myself 30 minutes, and so the clock is ticking, and we're going to move through them this morning and look at these fruits of the Spirit. So they are so familiar to us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I want to think about these words as it relates to mothers and take some encouragement and instruction from that. Mothers are love. The first word we have, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Much has been said about a mother's love. A mother's love is unconditional. Mother's love is equitable. It's shared equally among her children. A mother's love is genuine. You know, we can question that about each other from time to time, or we can put on a good face, we can do those kinds of things, but a mother's love is genuine. A mother's love is constant. A mother's love is sweet. I'll say it here now, and I'll probably reference this thought a few times as we go along. But I want to just be very real with the fact that all of us are in the flesh. All of us are come up short. And as I say, as I've just described a mother's love, I don't doubt but that you can think of where your love seemed to have fallen short this week. And I recognize that, and that is, well, that is to be expected, because we are in this flesh. However, what I have also described of a mother is true, and that is who a mother is. That is a that is what I have described is accurate, an accurate description of a mother's love. It's unconditional, it's equitable, it's genuine, it's constant, and it's sweet. A mother's love drives her to sacrifice. A mother's love drives her to pray. Another mother's love drives her to cry. A mother's love drives her to correct. Absolutely. A mother's love drives her to teach. Yes. So much teaching that is done. A mother's love allows her to see potential and gifts that lie in her child, even though she may spend most of her time trying to weed out the needs that also exist in that child. And yet, through those problems, a mother's love can see the potential and gifts that lie in her child. A mother's love is best seen in the way that she serves, in the way that she looks out for, in the way that she provides for her children. She sees the needs. She is perceptive to the hurts, and that is descriptive of a mother's love. God has given a unique gifting to mothers to love and care for her offspring, regardless of where her child has ended up, regardless of where. And you'll read the account sometime of this, you know, of a criminal who took others' lives and was so debased in what he did. And yet there at that courtroom, there at those proceedings, there visiting him in the jail is his mother. And that may be an extreme case of when we think about a mother's love. But a mother's love extends past that. It's understood. Mother's love, in maybe even defense of her child, it's understood. When criminal investigations are being done about a child, there's some space given to a mother of maybe having protected that child. There's just space given. That's always been interesting to me to see that. How you recognize that's what a mother does, you know. And so that is talking about love. This unique gift that's given to mothers to love and care for her offspring. And of course, it's interesting to see this in God's creation in the animal world, how much those birds will care for those little, the chickadees, the ones that have hatched, and how that they will protect them. And it's just so amazing to see that. And that's what God has done. And so I say, mothers who love God, mothers who love her husband, are a powerful testimony to her children about who God is and about what love truly is. Mothers are love. The second fruit here is mothers are joyful. Well now, doesn't that just describe all of us, right? Well, yes, joyful. Mothers do know something about laughing when the going gets tough. If not, they would crack. They would come apart. In fact, since they are but fleshly, sometimes they do crack. And so I understand that joyfulness isn't something that's always worn on the sleeves. I understand that. However, mothers teach their little ones to have joy in the mundane and at times tedious work. Mothers do that. And if you're able to do that, mothers, you have given such a gift to your children. I remember some very long rows in our garden. We had a big garden. In fact, for a little while, we had like a little truck patch. And I remember spending a lot of time, and there was always something about it when pulling weeds and those kinds of things, when mom or dad, for that matter, joined in that and well, hey, this is how we do this, and we can get this done, and, brought some life to that. Mothers are joyful. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit of joy. You know, Psalms 30, verse 5 says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Many a night, I know that mothers have wrestled with the needs of a little one only to be so thankful with the light of a new day and progress in that situation. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Mothers know something about the difficulty of hardship that comes with carrying. And giving birth to a child. Oh, but after the difficulty and hardship of pregnancy, the joy that comes with that sweet little one. There is something that is very, very amazing about that. The joy that comes with that little child. Mothers know something about the long nights of sickness. Mothers know something about long nights of prayer. Mothers know something about the distress of sickness, or perhaps it's rebellion in a child. Mothers know something about that. But joy is such a powerful thing. And I believe that mothers are able to transmit truth and to teach life lessons so much better when they are done with joy. They're able to accomplish so much more when joy is in the middle of it. Number three, so God bless you in that challenge of joy, finding joy in life, in the mundane, in the difficult. Mothers, may God bless you with that. Number three, mothers are peace. Peace is the next fruit here. Mothers are peace. Mothers bring peace to many a troubled mind and body. There is something, perhaps you can still remember something about your mother, some night and sickness. I can. I remember having earaches at about 6 years old. And I do remember distinctly, maybe I was four. I was probably just a little bit younger than that. But I remember distinctly my mother attending to that at different nights until I finally overcame that or outgrew it. I'm not exactly sure. But mothers are able to bring peace and comfort. Of course, that's part of what we're talking about here. Mothers are able to rally in the midst of a storm and bring peace to their little ones. We just haven't faced the turmoil, for instance, as some families have faced in Ukraine. We just haven't experienced that kind of trauma where suddenly not only is your house under threat, your entire village is under threat, and you're moving and lives are upset. But I'm pretty certain that there are children who find comfort in the fact that mother is here with them and is shepherding them through this storm. Absolutely. Mothers bring peace. Mothers resolve the disputes and the sibling rivalries. Absolutely. We happen to have some of those at our house. They bring peace to that. Again and again. They bring order to chaos. You know, you let mother go shopping for an afternoon, and, you know, hey, about 3-4 hours later, it's about time to see her back at home and bring some order. What happens next around here? And there is something about that, you know, peace that they bring by being there. When peace is restored, when mom says how it shall be. Mothers, you need to regularly experience the Prince of Peace in your hearts if you wish to have the vitality and heart to continually bring peace and rest to your children. Peace. Mothers bring peace. As your children grow up, your prayers, your encouragement, and your challenges to them and for them will be key to them finding their own peace with God. Number four, mothers are long-suffering. I'm sure maybe you were waiting for me to get to this one because, we are. Mothers, you really do put up with so much. Mothers are willing to stick it out through the most difficult of circumstances, especially when it involves their children. And so, the vehicle breaks down along the road and it's hot and there's a couple of hours. We're so used to quick answers to our problems today. But there was a time when you broke down and the first steps were trying to get somebody to stop. You couldn't make that phone call. And so you were left in situations that weren't resolved quickly. And we don't have so many of them today, but mothers are long-suffering, being able to stick out through the most difficult of circumstances. They're able to put up somehow with the silliness and the noise and the developing personalities of their little ones. And the smells. And whatever else it might be that can test any one of us, they're able to take that. They have a long suffering. They suffer long. Mothers suffer long. Why? Because they are the mother. Sometimes children can be mean, Sometimes life can bring about some of the most difficult circumstances. I already expressed some of them. It could include not having money. It could include loss of a partner. It could include special needs that test beyond measure. All of those things can come into our lives suddenly, slowly, and we're called to endure. Mothers are long-suffering. Mothers have the amazing ability to rise to the challenge again and again and again. I have seen that. I have seen it in my wife. I have seen it in my mother. I have seen it in you sisters here. To rise to the challenge again and again and again. It's a beautiful thing. It's true. Sharp words, angry thoughts, they may be present from time to time. Again, we are but in this flesh. However, a mother will inevitably give way to serving and loving because mothers are long-suffering. That's what she'll come back to. Number five, mothers are gentle. That's our next fruit of the Spirit here. Gentle. Mothers are gentle. Where does a child go when they get hurt? Look, I think us fathers need to be a source of comfort as well. Absolutely. But where does a child go when they get hurt? Mom. They want mom. They need a gentle hand. They need a soft shoulder. They need the comforting voice of a mother. It's an amazing thing. God has given that to our wives, to our mothers. And so need I say more? Mothers are gentle across all cultures. All the diversity that exists on this planet, one of the constants is the gentle hand of a mother and the love and care that only a mother can give. It's an amazing thing to see. And we understand. Oh, it does make sense. Of course, it all fits together because there's one creator. And so he has made mothers the same regardless of their language, skin color, circumstances. They are the same. They're gentle. Mother's gentleness gives her children courage to open up about their questions and fears. And fears. And so, yes, we understand why, you know, your wife says to you, Johnny has these fears. Like, oh, really? I didn't know that. You know? And you begin to talk about it. And maybe you address them together. But that is a gift that God has implanted in mothers. Gentleness. It's a beautiful thing. Well, the next fruit is goodness. Fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. It's the little things. Mothers are good. It's the little things. Who thinks about buying that little trinket or making the special food or he really wants this birthday cake? They're good. They're thinking about their children and what they like. Not spoiling them, but being good. Good. The projects, the games, the attention that mothers shower upon her children. The hours spent reading books. Hours spent reading books. God bless you, mothers. And answering questions. You see, a mother's goodness doesn't allow for mothers, to just settle for good, but rather mothers are often thinking about not just the good, but what's better and what's best. I'm always sort of amazed at that, because sometimes we're willing to just sort of settle for good. Well, that looks good to me, but, you know, your wife is like, well, but I think maybe. And you realize that we want to just lift this a little higher, and that's because she is good. She is thinking about her children, and not just what's good, but what's better and what could be best. And so that is a gift that's God has given to mothers. Goodness causes them to persist in pursuing answers for a problem. That problem may be to have a safe place to play. And, you know, it would be wrong for a wife to nag because she wants a new vehicle just because, you know, the old one has a scratch in it. But we understand, men, if a mother and wife needs to nag because there needs to be a fence put up. Those are two different things. And that's a mother's goodness. It's because she's caring. And we need to be able to sort through that sometimes. So may God help us. Mothers are good to their children. Number 7, faith. The next fruit here is faith. Goodness, faith. Mothers are faithful. Mothers are faith. Mothers are faithful. Mothers exemplify faithfulness. Let's put it that way. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to her husband, faithfulness to her children. She never gives up hope. Mothers don't give up hope on their little ones. She may cry. She may be tempted to. She may be discouraged. But her place that she comes back to is faithfulness. Hope. She may have fears, but she will always have faith in her children. She trusts that God will work in them. She trusts that God will use them. She trusts that one day she'll reap an abundant blessing for the sacrifice that she is pouring into that child now. That requires faith. It's having a real hope of what will come back to you one day. And so mothers are faithful. They have much faith. And so mothers, children know that their mother, and they should know that their mother believes in them, that they have someone who's on their side. No, it's not a mother who just pats them on the head and sort of is soft with them, but rather it's a mother who believes that they're worthy of the investment, and they give themselves in that way. That will be communicated to a child, and they'll understand that. Their mother believes in them, that she's on their side. Mothers don't waver. They're faithful. The next fruit here is the fruit of meekness. Mothers are meek. Meekness is not weakness. Oh my, no. As I understand it, meekness is strength and power restrained. The Shunammite woman came to my mind as I thought about this. Here was a lady who saw Elisha the prophet and served him, which is an amazing account. But through that interaction, she received a child that she didn't ask for. Elisha said, "Could I do anything for you?" She said, "No, I'm satisfied. I don't need anything." And then Elisha's servant said, but she doesn't have a child. And so Elisha arranged that, through God's power, this lady had a child. And that child lived for a number of years and then died. We know the account. The child died. And the Shunammite woman got up from the bedside of her child, and nothing would stop her. She got on a fast horse or mule, and she went to see the prophet. And the prophet, God opened up his mind and said, "Oh, she's coming to see me," or he saw her coming, and he said, "Go meet her," to his servant. She would not be stopped by the servant. She said, "I will see the prophet." And so she went to see the prophet. She persisted. She pushed through. She got to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Okay, servant, you go to see her son." And the Shunammite woman said, "That might be okay, but I'm not leaving until you come. I'm not leaving until you come." And so he did. And so the prophet came, and we know the story. The son was revived. And yet the woman showed all the fruits of a godly woman in her response after that, and so on. I am impressed with this idea that, yes, mothers are meek. They are gentle. They are not bold and out of place. And yet there is a strength that amazes me. To see a little, we think a 20, 21-year-old with a new baby is pretty young. Well, in Bible times it was younger than that even. That a young lady had the responsibility of taking care of a child, and perhaps the grandmas were quite involved. But my point is that I was impressed when my wife, when we had our first child, that was a big enough deal for me. But the ownership, you know, the responsibility, that strength was amazing. And hey, I need to decide this, and you know, that's a beautiful thing. That's what God's done. And He gives that to our mothers. Mothers have a strength that is unbelievable, and they are a force to be recognized. Society is doing everything it can to minimize the role of a mother. They are intentionally, I believe, attempting to break the bond of mother and child. I believe that's being done. But they will do well, society will do well to never, never underestimate a mother's quiet strength for her offspring. And when mother feels like she needs to protect, she will. And that is a wonderful thing. I also have been amazed, as we think about meekness, I know it seems like I'm sort of speaking from a place of boldness and strength, but my suggestion is that mothers are meek. They are gentle. They are not unnecessarily bold, and yet there is a strength and vitality that God has given them as mothers that is defined also, I believe, in meekness. And again, I am amazed at how much space is given for our mothers legally, socially. For instance, in healthcare, you know, what does mom want? What have you decided? Those kinds of things. And, you know, and when there is a need with a child, mother is given a place right there at that scene to be part of that and to make those decisions. And I've been amazed at that. Mothers are strength restrained. I believe that's what's being taught here in meekness. Strength restrained. Finally, and my final point is mothers are temperate. Now, mothers are temperate. Temperate is the last fruit that's temperance is given here. Against such there is no law. Mothers are temperate. Well, we could talk about food, but I won't do that. So we're going to think about the ways in which mothers are temperate. Mothers seem to have to say no a lot. That's enough of sauce. No more dessert. They're constantly pushing back against excesses. That's what mothers do. No, you've played long enough. It's one of their roles. It's one of their gifts. More is not always better. If you eat more, you're going to have a bellyache. And those are the things that mothers do. They're temperate. They pull back. They understand they need to bring balance to the life of their children. You've played long enough, as I already mentioned. You go rest now. Mothers teach their children to moderate their emotions, to manage their feelings. Mothers help their children with that. Mothers teach reserve to their children, boys and girls. They teach economy. No, that costs too much. You know, we only have so much to spend this week on groceries. They teach their children to be conscientious in their use of time and resources. Mothers do that because they're temperate. Most of all, mothers are an example of temperance in their own lives. In their own lives. And so may God help you, mothers. Finally, mothers, all of these fruits are directly connected to your willingness to crucify the flesh with all of its natural affections and lusts. And that's what verse 24 says. After you come through the fruits of the Spirit, against such there is no law, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. May God bless you, mothers. Mothers on the move, as you move about, as you walk in the Spirit, as you live this out in your daily life, may God bless the high work of being a mother to your children. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come here before you this morning. And again, we recognize your wisdom, your creation, your plan, as only you've designed it. Unique gifts that you've given, yes, to the men as husbands and fathers and leaders, and yes, to the women as mothers and nurturers and those who carry the weight of the little ones. And so, God, I pray your blessing upon them here this morning. I pray that they'd be encouraged not to get hung up with their faults, but rather to recognize the great call upon their lives, to recognize the great gifting that you've given intuitively to each one. And I pray that you'd help them to cultivate those gifts, yes, to sanctify and to crucify the natural and the carnal, which is so close to us. So may you be near to them and bless them this morning. Bless our little ones, Lord. We do lift them up to you. Lord, we do pray that they would have a solid foundation to build upon, an example of godly father, mother, home. Lord, I do pray you give us wisdom. We recognize that the days are short, the times are perilous. And so give us wisdom, we ask. May your will be done, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.